It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Each year, more than 200,000 Americans get an abdominal aortic aneurysm, and if it ruptures, it can cause massive internal bleeding, which is usually fatal. And my guest is Dr. Catherine Gallagher. She's assistant professor of surgery at the University of Michigan. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gallagher. Let's talk a little bit about aortic aneurysm, specifically in the abdomen area, and what that entails, what signs we might get that we've got this before it's too late.
Sure. So abdominal aortic aneurysms are actually quite common. They occur in about 200,000 Americans, and each year about 15,000 Americans die from an aortic aneurysm. We know that men generally comprise more abdominal aneurysms than females do. About 5 to 7% of adults who are over 60 who are men have an aneurysm, and about 2 to 3% of adults over 60 are women who have an aneurysm. But what's important about this, and even though men tend to develop more aneurysms, when a woman has an aneurysm, they're much more likely to die of that aneurysm and have a rupture related to that aneurysm.
Wow. So what do we do? How do we know?
So that's the tough question, is because oftentimes people don't have any symptoms when they have an aortic aneurysm. Some people, if they have a family history, and particularly women, if you know that you have someone in your family, a father, a grandfather, someone who's died of an aneurysm or has been diagnosed with an aneurysm, then you know that you're at particularly high risk. But in the majority of patients, they have no idea, and these are usually incidental findings that people will discover when they're getting a workup for something else. Now, if you do feel symptoms, usually those symptoms are people who have abdominal pain, they may have lower back pain. Those are the symptoms that people get if they do have a symptomatic aneurysm. But again, this is one of those diseases where getting, you know, frequent health checks is probably a good idea, especially if you have some cardiovascular risk factors.
Now, would there be any signs like inflammatory markers, you know, your CRP or homocysteine, any of these things in your routine work? Or is this something maybe even, you know, when you get your gynecological exam, you know, she's poking around in your abdomen area. Is there anybody that would find it just matter of fact?
So some people who are particularly thin, a physician can find it on physical exam, but usually the smaller aneurysms, which most of them are usually less than 5 centimeters in size, those are sometimes more difficult to find on a physical exam. So the SVS, which is the Society of Vascular Surgery, recommends that everyone get screened if you're over the age of 50 and you have any family history, like we talked about, of an aneurysm, as well as any women that are over the age of 60 who have cardiovascular risk factors. That would be things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, a history of a stroke, smokers, things like that, that would be considered cardiovascular risk factors that would put you at a higher risk for developing an aneurysm, and smoking in particular people at a higher risk of rupturing that aneurysm, which is really what we worry about with aneurysms, and which is why we like to fix these when they reach a certain size. That's because of the risk of them bursting, or what we call rupturing, which is what you discussed, where you can have massive hemorrhage and are usually fatal.
Okay, so you can do surgery to remove an aneurysm, but what, you have to wait until it's a certain size? You can't take out a tiny one? Are you putting in, like, mesh or doing anything in case it ruptures before it's the size you can do surgery?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have a size criteria for fixing these because there have been multiple studies that have been done in the past that have shown us that aneurysms that are of small size have very little chance of rupture. So therefore, the chance of having a problem with the surgery, you know, developing a complication related to surgery, is greater than the chance of smaller aneurysm rupturing. So in women, we recommend that around 5 centimeters, they have an aneurysm repaired, whereas in men, it's generally around 5.5. So again, we recommend fixing the women at a slightly smaller size because their risk of rupture is so much greater. And that's based on the fact that at those sizes, your risk of having a rupture happen becomes much greater than your risk of the surgery itself.
So what's involved in, once it's out, Dr. Gallagher, is it then gone, and then are you at risk for more aneurysms to show up in other places?
So there is some link between aortic aneurysms and aneurysms in other places of the body. We don't normally take, unless it's we're doing an open surgical repair, we don't necessarily take the aneurysm out. And I'd like to spend a minute just talking about there's two general ways that we fix these aneurysms. We can either repair them with an open surgery, in which case we are essentially removing the aneurysm. The open surgery is a little bit more extensive initially and a little riskier in the short term, but in the long term, it has an equivalent outcome to what I'm going to call the minimally invasive approach or the endovascular option, which I'll talk about next, which is a less invasive way. Basically, we put a wire in the aorta and we can put a little graft inside the vessel and basically exclude the aneurysm. So we don't have to physically go in and resect the aneurysm or take it out. We just put a small little graft or a little flow channel, if you will, inside the aneurysm, and so it allows the blood to go through and not press on the side walls.
Wow.
Of the aneurysm. So it's a little bit less invasive initially, but then the downfall, I guess, if you will, of that type of repair is that then you have to get periodic CAT scans and be monitored for an extensive period of time because a certain percentage of those patients will develop some small leaks and other related complications that need to be fixed in the subsequent years.
Well, it's kind of like a collateral circulation. I mean, you're going around it like construction, you know, avoiding the pothole, right?
But exactly.
But for women, Dr. Gallagher, especially women, why would we want that to know that it's still in there? And we worry about everything all the time anyway. Wouldn't you feel like even though you've gone around it and it's not got the pressure against it, you're still kind of a ticking time bomb?
Well, but the studies have borne out that endovascular repair is as good as open repair at least 2 years out. It's just one of the downfalls is, like I said, that you develop these small endo leaks. Those can also easily be fixed usually with minimally invasive techniques, the same type of, you know, small wires and catheters and such. But you do kind of have to survey that a little bit more. Now, as far as the open surgery, women's outcomes are not as good generally as men. So a lot of women do prefer, and a lot of people in general prefer that minimally invasive approach, even if it means having to survey that for a longer period of time. So I usually tell patients it's kind of just a personal preference thing. Both are perfectly acceptable ways of repairing the aneurysm. You have to kind of look into which is going to be best for that patient. You know, what do they prefer? Oftentimes, as well, for doing that, like you're talking about the endovascular approach. One of the problems potentially doing that in women is that women have smaller anatomy. Some of their vessels are a little bit smaller, and the currently available devices that we have are more geared toward the size of men's arteries. A lot of women, in other words, don't qualify necessarily for the endovascular repair because their vessels are smaller, because the shape of their aneurysm is sometimes a little bit different.
Well, Dr. Gallagher, and you're a vascular surgeon, it would be time to change that. You know, the Framingham studies and all the heart things done on men all the time. It is time to start building things that are the size for women and our vessels and make sure that we are covered, especially when it comes to heart disease and heart-related issues, which are the number one killer of women in this country. Remember, you can podcast these shows anytime. Listen on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole, and stay well.